host Shelley Delaney, and this Thursday night, the debut of a new KTOO documentary, The Queens and Kings of Juno, a story about people who found their chosen family and created a whole community here in town. So joining me now are Rasha McChesney. Hi, Rasha.
Hello, Shelley.
And Paige Sparks. Hi, Paige.
Hey there.
And Gigi Monroe. Hello, Gigi.
Hey, Shelley.
Hey. Well, Rasha and Gigi are both pretty Juno famous, but Paige, you're relatively new here.
Paige is going to be Juno famous soon enough. After people see this documentary, probably.
It's really, yeah, it's kind of hard to keep up with these two, but, you know, doing my best.
Would you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, of course. So I moved up here in January to be a new TV producer for KTOO. I'm thrilled to be a part of this community and, you know, very quickly got a friendship with many people in the office, Rasha especially, who invited me to a drag show, and I was blown away. I just was like, this has to be a piece. So I'm just really very glad to have the opportunity to be a part of the community and to have the drag community give their trust to me and Rasha to tell this story. And yeah, thanks for having me.
What's your role in the documentary?
So Rasha and I both produced it, and then I did a lot of the post-production work as well as the camera work.
Rasha, you are a reporter, of course, here at KTOO.
I am.
Among other things, other hats. What was your role in the documentary, or what was some of your experiences?
So Paige and I kind of split up. So she did a lot of – this was really fun because I'm used to being sort of the photojournalist on scene and also trying to get audio and also try to do interviews. And Paige has – this phenomenal eye. So she just did all of these visual things, and I got to focus on interviewing people and really thinking about the parts of the narrative that we were going to need for her to fit together. And I am also from here. So it was like I could, you know, be that person that's like, well, this is what the drag show looks like, and this is the story that I think is really interesting here. And I think we had a really sort of naturally good division of duties. Because there is a lot that goes into making a documentary, even a miniature documentary.
To say the least.
Yeah, just a few things.
And do you have a connection with the drag community apart from producing this film?
I think I'm just friends with a lot of people in the drag community. And as a photographer, it's one of my, you know, more sort of favorite things to show up and photograph in town, just because there's so much representation that you don't see anywhere else on the stage. So I've always really enjoyed showing up and photographing them, and have gotten closer to some members of the troupe, and yeah.
And now turning to Gigi Monroe, who really needs no introduction, but let's do one anyway. Rasha, would you do the honors? How would you describe Gigi?
James first or Gigi?
Well, we're going with Gigi today.
Okay. So I would say that Gigi Monroe is probably one of the most famous, if not the most famous, sort of drag queens in Juno. And as I've done a lot of the deep dive into drag history in Juno that I'm working on, Gigi's name keeps coming up as someone who brought the national sort of drag stage and ideals and standards and openness to Juno. So Juno had a drag scene before, but it was a lot of it was like bringing people down from Anchorage, and there were some people locally doing some sort of doing drag, but like smaller profile. And Gigi came to town and kind of got her bearings and then just like exploded into what is now a really vibrant drag scene here. Yeah, that would be how I would introduce you. Is that appropriate, Gigi?
Yeah, I think that pretty much sums it up.
That and more. Well, welcome, Gigi. How do you feel about the premiere tomorrow?
Thanks. I am so excited. You know, I haven't even seen it yet.
Oh, our bad.
So,
it's a surprise for everyone, okay?
I was kind of wondering
I'm super excited about it. I saw that, you know, I saw the teaser, the 30-second promo, and I was just like blown away with the story that I think will be told and the perspective and you know, just the slick editing. I mean, it looks amazing. It sounds amazing. I think that, I mean, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to being impressed. I'm sure I will be. And I think that the amount of care that went into, you know, researching the story and interviewing people and talking to lots of different folks, I think that one thing I know for sure is that Rasha and Paige did their homework and really care about the community. So I think that we're all going to feel really well represented, and just an honor to be, you know, the subject of this documentary.
Well, I'm sure being on camera is nothing new to you, but what was the experience like working with our KTOO video team?
Well, I guess you're right in some ways that, like, I have done interviews before. I have done some work with filmmakers and TV and things like that. But I think I'm most impressed with just the professionalism, you know, that was an easy, you know, slam dunk. Like, I knew that, you know, they were very respectful and asked permission with everything that they wanted to do, and made sure that everything was in bounds. And they wanted to do a really deep dive, like they said, into this story that's, I think, a lot of folks, you know, really only know the surface of. When, you know, somebody comes to a show, that's kind of their understanding of our community is what they see on stage or what they hear on the microphone for a couple hours on a Saturday night. And I think that there is a lot of backstory, and there's a lot there that I'm just really excited that they took the time to get to know.
Well, I'm guessing that you might be one of the central characters of this documentary, but because you are the central character of many drag show I've seen in town. But who are some of the other queens and kings that are featured?
I just want to say that, like, at the very beginning, sort of James and Gigi end up being a central character because, and I should have said this when I was introducing her, but Gigi is drag mom to this huge troupe in Juneau. And when Paige and I went to that first show that we went to together, I don't know if you've never been to a drag show here, and even if you have been to a drag show here, I don't know that anybody really understands the variety of people that you're seeing on stage and how unusual that is. Like, you walk into this show and there is a white woman on stage, and there is a queer person on stage, and then there's an Indigenous person, and then there's a Black person, and then there's some people for whom gender is a completely different construct than the rest of us are used to. And we kind of went into this documentary with that driving question of, like, who did this? How did this happen? And we kept coming back to Gigi. And so Gigi is central, but we also talked for a while to Ricky Tagaban, whose stage name is Lutuya Hart. Who are some of your favorites, Paige? We talked to a lot of people.
We also spoke with Jose Cuervo. Britt, she has now moved to Washington, sadly, but she just really represents something that you don't see, which is drag kings. And that seems to be something that is a running theme in Juneau specifically, that there is a lot of drag kings here. And I think that Gigi has really opened up the space so that, just like what Rasha was saying, everybody can participate. And I think the biggest takeaway that I really hope, or that Rasha and I really hope people get from this film, is that if you are going to go to a drag show in Juneau, there's a good chance that you're going to see yourself represented on stage. And that seems to be a really important aspect to all of their shows. Hopefully, if you haven't been or haven't seen a virtual show, like, please do so. It is such a worth it experience.
What would you add to that, Gigi?
I think that, you know, when I moved here 8 years ago, it was really important to me to take everything that I was taught as a young performer, drag queen in Atlanta, Georgia, about what it means to create a space and a family, and how important inclusion is, and having a welcoming attitude. Where, you know, I think, again, a lot of the stereotypes about drag queens is a cattiness and a judgmental and kind of this sorority of mean girls. And I was taught the power in being the exact opposite way and making space for everybody and showing respect and building relationships and building community. And I've seen the power of that. And I really wanted to do that here. So everything that I've done here has been in honor of that background that I have. And it's something that I am so proud of. Out of everything that I've done here, the community and the family that has been created as a result of the drag shows and the drag family is our biggest success. And it's my most proud moment.
I haven't seen the documentary yet either, but I imagine that's one of the central messages that's going to come through from the story. Paige and Rasha, what did you learn about the Juno drag community that maybe you didn't know before through the process of making this documentary?
Oh my gosh, I have one. This is like, because I asked every person that we talked to this question. I had this concept that drag was a thing, and I think maybe it's because I have a background in theater, that you sort of created a character and then you embodied that character. But it was somebody who was definitely separate from you that you had to sort of like learn to play as a role. And what I learned instead from pretty much everybody that I talked to was that they were actually exploring parts of themselves that they weren't really able to explore in other parts of their lives, which is one of the things that makes this community so radical and revolutionary in its inclusiveness, is that you give space to people who are exploring parts of themselves that they just aren't permitted to explore anywhere else. You cannot be a radically queer, gender fluid, you know, person just in, even I think just like in downtown at Rainbow Food sometimes, that you still stick out and people stare at you. And there's this space where you can go and people are doing it and they're doing it on stage and it's like covered in glitter. And so I would ask people like, oh, who's, what kind of girl is your character? And they would look at me just really blankly. And then I'd be like, what kind of girl are you? And then it would just spill out of them. And I think that to me was a really revolutionary thing that I learned in the process of making the documentary, was like, this isn't about a character. This is about these parts of yourself that you're exploring and then are brave enough to like put out in front of the world. That was really groundbreaking for me.
Yeah, I think that bravery thing is something that really hits home for me, because something that I really love about just the drag community is its fearlessness to just question the norm, right? Question what society has put in place to say, this is what girls look like, this is what boys look like, this is what you're supposed to wear, how you're supposed to act if you're this particular gender. And I've never agreed with that either. And I feel like drag is one of those art forms that really fully allows even somebody that's not necessarily brave enough to get on stage, even sitting in the audience, knowing that you're in a space that you're allowed to be whatever you want to be, is really, really special for me, and why I think it's important to embrace the drag community in a way that's so much more than just an entertainment. It is straight up a community. It is family. It's chosen family. It's very, very important on an emotional level for many people.
How would you respond to that, Gigi?
Oh, with a few tears and taking a moment. No, I just, it's always like so cool to me to hear someone else actually see some of the things that I feel really deep inside, or, you know, the things that motivate me to continue doing this, after, I don't know, this is my 16th, 17th year doing it, you know, and to feel like, yes, somebody gets it. Like someone sees it, someone feels it, is so validating, so rewarding. The piece that you just said, Paige, about, you know, creating a chosen family. I think, you know, my goal in having a show is that that audience gets to become part of a family that night, and not family in the, like, you know, kind of silly, like saccharine, you know, cliche way, but like a real way that you can feel it. And maybe you don't even have words to describe what it is, but you can come into that space and you may not be in the show, but you still feel like it's okay to be yourself, whatever that is. And that everyone is welcome there and everyone has an equal place and an equal value. And that's celebrated like really deliberately. And, you know, we do it through music and dance and expressions and just being silly and having a moment to play together. And those things don't always have words to describe what they're like. But I think that what we've heard from audiences is that's like the thing that keeps people coming back. That's the thing that connects audience members who maybe would never connect in real life. But at a drag show, like, maybe, you know, maybe they sit together and they watch the show and they connect in a new way that they never thought they could.
Well, I know we've talked a lot about how COVID impacted or upended the drag scene, especially a couple of years ago or last year, and how you persevered through virtual shows and all vaccinated shows in person. And I'm sure that'll also be covered in the documentary. But what were some of the challenges of filming this during COVID?
You know, we actually we got really lucky. That first show that we went to, so before the Delta variant took over, when all of us were, you know, there was that like crucial like few months going into summer. It was like, wait a minute, if you're vaccinated, you can be around other people again. And there, the first in-person drag show, you had to be vaccinated and show your vax card to get in. And that was such a groundbreaking, interesting experience because, and I say groundbreaking because we had just been hunkered down for so long that it felt groundbreaking. I remember photographing people just sort of touching each other and how it felt at the time. So we had some time to go and sort of see people in person before this sort of resurgence of a variant that would have made that. I think that would have been impossible for us to go do a lot of that filming safely otherwise.
Yeah, safely, and also it would have taken away that personal aspect, right, of being in the same room, interviewing individuals, connecting emotionally. But absolutely, we got really lucky. I think that window has now
slammed.
slammed shut. And so I'm very grateful that at least this got out into the world in the right timing so that we could have that emotional connection. But yeah, I don't know.
We got lucky.
Yeah, and I just want to thank Gigi personally because I think all four of us were at the first show that everyone was allowed to come to in person and show your vaccination card. And it was surreal. And I never thought that being in a situation like that, indoors, unmasked, crowded room, performers on stage, is all stuff I took for granted before. So thanks, Gigi, for giving us a couple of really good shows this summer. And we know that live drag will be back again. And Gigi, while I've got you here, is there anything you want to talk about, anything that you want to share with our audiences not related to the documentary?
Yeah, you know, we are back on pause again from having in-person shows, and that is really difficult. It's really, really hard for me personally and for all of the performers in town. We desperately want to perform. We need to perform. It's an outlet that's crucial to a lot of our well-being. And we can't do that right now. And I just want to make a plea for people to go get vaccinated, because when you do, then we can have events again. You know, a drag show is a really kind of magical in-person experience that doesn't go so well with a lot of mitigation measures. So we're just holding out until we can get cases back down again. And so, you know, I think we all want this. I know you all would love to come to a drag show as much as I'd love to put one on and perform, but we have to get control of this situation in our community in order to do that safely. So I don't know when we're going to be back. I'm super hopeful that maybe we can have a New Year's show. So that's my challenge I'd like to issue to everybody, is just let's get this under control, Juno, so that we can have an amazing start to 2022 with a fabulous New Year's drag show.
I'm hopeful about that too. I can see it on your face and hear it in your voice. You need that sparkle back in your life.
Yes.
Well, we do have one thing to look forward to very soon. Tomorrow night, premiere of Queens and Kings of Juno. I wish we could all have a big watch party, right? But let's focus on the positive. Where do we tune in for the premiere?
So a few places.
Yeah. It's streaming in a couple of places online. I know that you can find it on Facebook if Facebook doesn't go down again. And I think you might even be able to find it in two places on Facebook because there was some glitching errors there.
Also on Instagram. Yeah. So trying to hit both of those platforms.
Which is just Facebook in a square.
Yes.
And you'll be able to find it afterwards. It's going to live on our YouTube. And it will be on television as well. But I'm not sure exactly when it's scheduled. I think Kelly would be able to...
So it'll be scheduled at the same time. So if you do have cable and you're able to access our broadcast, you can watch it on TV as well.
And what about 360 TV online?
Yeah, it should be paired up with that. So
great. Great. So lots of options. And if you missed any of that or forgot, just go check out our website and all the information will be there. Gigi, what do you plan to do tomorrow night? Where are you going to watch? How are you going to watch?
I am going to figure out the technology in my living room, and I'm going to watch with DJ Sparkle Toes and just take it all in. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
That's great. Paige and Rasha, anything else you want to share about the documentary before we say goodbye today?
I just want to say thank you so much for everybody who helped us along the way, because, you know, as a documentary filmmaker, like, you cannot do this alone, and it definitely takes the trust and help from the individuals who participate in your films to actually make the story happen. So I just cannot express enough gratitude for everybody who volunteered and gave their time and their emotions and were just vulnerable on camera. That was everything.
Yeah, we asked people to engage on some really, really intimate subjects and some really deep subjects. We talked about race and we talked about gender and we talked about being comfortable in the community that you're from and, you know, creating a family when you can't, you know, really rely on the family that you were born with. And I think for people to do that with me, who they sort of know, and with Paige, who they were just meeting, I feel really lucky that people were willing to engage with us on that and do it in such a way that we could present a film about it.
Well, I just want to thank you both for putting this together. I'm really excited to see it tomorrow night. 9 o'clock is the premiere. It'll be online, 360 TV, Facebook. You'll find it. Mm-hmm. And Gigi, thanks for being with us today. It was great to hear about your experience with it as well.
Thanks, Shelley.
Thanks, Gigi.
We'll see you all again soon.
Yeah. Thank you both. You're amazing.